Last week, we went through verses 137 to 144. And we need to understand that God's word is righteous. It is the standard. It is absolute. It is inerrant. And the word of God reflects the character of the eternal and righteous God. In verses 137 to 138, in way of review, we see that God's word is righteous. That is acknowledged. We have to acknowledge that God's word is righteous. We have to acknowledge that God's word is accepted for us. And when we receive Christ, we accept every word that he said. Because we can't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We need to adopt it as a standard for our life in verse 138. And it is the security of the psalmist's life. In verses 139 through 141, God's word purifies. We need to have God's word burn inside of us to give us an unction or anointing from on high, to cause us and motivate us to go and do things. We need to have God's word burn away air as the refining fire. It's tried in fire. And then it needs to be tried by trust when we go through fiery trials. Because the Bible says in Ephesians that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And it should burn away fear. We looked at Philippians where Paul is in prison, but people were getting more and more bold to preach the gospel, even though he was going through a trial of fire. Then in verses 142 through 144, we see that God's word endures. The first of all is because it is everlasting. You know, God existed before creation. God is the Word, so it was beyond creation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's words will not pass away. God's word is everlasting because it is righteous. It stands the test of time. It stands the test of test, and it's always right. And the reason is because it's truth. We need to get on board with that one if you're not there. God's word is the source of absolute truth. And then in verse 144, because of its example for following. It says, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Okay? And then he goes on and for fullness of life. Okay? So that is the last stanza. As we go tonight, the title of this message is The Pursuit of Truth. We're going to be looking at Psalm 145 through 152. And this is a prayer. And we need to understand that the Word of God provides confidence in prayer. We just had a season of prayer. And we can pray those prayers based on the authority of God's Word. So, the word or the letter is kaf. Okay? It could either be spelled with a Q or a K. Okay? A Q or a K. And it means axe head. It means axe head. Okay? Now I'll tell you one thing. You don't have an axe unless you have an axe head. That is the business end of the axe. Axe head. You have a handle. You have an axe. It cuts down trees.
I know, but I mean, what's
that? That is the, it is the metal thing that's on top of the tree, on top of the handle. An axe consists of an axe handle and an axe head. Okay? The axe head is the thing that does business. If you don't have an axe head, you'll do a lot of swinging, but you won't be doing much cutting. Okay? It is the business end. It's the business end of the axe. And so we need to understand that God's word does that. It's God's word that purifies. It's God's word that's true. It's God's word that cuts. It's God's word that does the work. We just need to follow it. God's already done all the work for us. So, are we good on axe heads?
Go.
Awesome, okay. So, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cry unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from my law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning the testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. There are three things that we see in this passage, in this prayer. First of all, what we see is we see his cry. We have seen already in this chapter, earlier in this chapter, the psalmist is crying out to God for deliverance. He's crying out for God for understanding. He's crying out to God for protection. And so here in verses 145 through 148, we see another prayer that the psalmist had. And when we look at 145, we can see how he prayed, and we can get some instruction on how he prayed here. It says, I cried with my whole heart. So how he prayed with his whole heart. Earlier in this chapter, we said that the psalmist did not want to be surrounded by half-hearted people. But you know something? Oftentimes we pray half-heartedly. You know, the disciples could not get rid of the demon that was in the lunatic's boy who was throwing himself in the fire. And he said this. He says, this type doesn't come out except by what? Prayer and fasting. We know in James chapter 5 that prayer needs to be effectual, it needs to be fervent, and it needs to be from a righteous person. So he prayed with his whole heart. In Psalm 119, verse 10, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. We see this recurring theme over and over again. It says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. See, when you have your whole heart, you're committed to it. And when you're committed to it, then you have a conversation with God. God doesn't hear prayers. He hears everything. But he's not going to respond to a prayer if you don't have the faith to go through with it. So how he prayed with his whole heart here. How did he pray? He prayed here, hear me, okay? Hear me. The actual translation would be more along the line of answer me, okay? And it really is in the sense of anticipating an answer. There's a lot of prayers that will go up, and you don't expect an answer. You don't expect it that way. Answers to prayer should not be a surprise. Answers to prayer should be a delight in what God can do. Answers to prayer should be about what the grace of God can do, and how powerful our God, how great thou art. And so that's what it is. It says it's an expectation of an answer. Christ himself told the disciples, he said in John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, and my what? Words. Over and over in the stanza we see commandments, testimonies, and everything. That's the word of God. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide, they actually have life. We have a life that other people can see spiritually. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We're supposed to pray expecting God to give an answer. Amen. It says, where two or three are gathered, and if you ask for something to be bound in heaven, it's done. It's done. We need to consider that when we pray to God, that that's done if it's in God's will. If it's not in God's will, we're going to figure that out. We're going to figure that out. So his cry, how he prayed with his whole heart. He prayed with an expectation of an answer. Hear me, O Lord. And then the last one is he prayed with obedience to the word. You cannot pray for something that is out of the will of God. You cannot pray for something that is contrary to the word of God. It doesn't work. God's not going to give you something to be sinful or to consume it on your own lust. In James, he says the same. He says, you ask and you have not because you want to consume it on your own lust. So we need to do it with obedience to the word. A very familiar passage. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard or I hold on to iniquity in my what? Heart. This is all about a heart issue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's waiting for you to say, forgive me. I repent. And then he will listen. He will listen. In Psalm 119, verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The psalmist is sold out. He's sold out in reading God's word. He's sold out in prayer. He's sold out in fighting the good fight. Folks, that's what we need to do. We need to be sold out. And when you're sold out, everything's with your whole heart. So we see here, this is how he prayed. He prayed with his whole heart. He prayed with an expectation of an answer. That requires faith. And then he prayed with obedience to the word. That requires holiness. That requires holiness. Now, in verse 146, what did he pray for? He said, I cried unto thee, save me. He prayed for deliverance. You know, you might get deliverance from a bill with your checking account, if you have it in it. But your checking account is not infinite. You might get deliverance from an illness by taking drugs, but those drugs are not infinite. He cries out to the only one who is infinite. He cries out to the only one who has all power. God can solve all of your problems. He can take care of it. He is the only one that can deliver. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, the same word here for save me. It says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. To what? To save you. To deliver you. See, but the point is, he needs to be the Lord your God. I had all sorts of people come to me in my last job and ask me to pray for them. And I said, I will pray for God's mercy and God's grace for you. But the issue is, you need to pray to God. You need to have a relationship with God. Because we should pray for one another. But the issue is, it's supposed to be a relationship. It's supposed to be a relationship. So what did he pray for? He prayed for deliverance. He asked God to save him. Then the next thing is, he says, and I shall keep thy testimonies. You know something? If you're all bound up in sin, you can't keep his testimonies. If you're worried about what's happening, you can't keep his testimonies. So what he did is he prayed for duty. He prayed for deliverance so he would have the ability to keep his testimonies. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3, it says, let us hear the conclusion of what? The whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Christ himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hereby all men will know that you're my disciples when you have what? Love for one another. Folks, the duty for us is to show God to other people. But the only way we can show God to other people is if we show God that we're really serious. If we're really serious with this. So he prayed for deliverance. He prayed for duty. How did he pray? With his whole heart. Okay? How did he pray? He prayed with the expectation of an answer. How did he pray? He prayed with obedience to the word. And then when did he pray? When did he pray? In verses 147 to 148, we see he prayed throughout the day. You know, the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, what? Pray without ceasing. Okay? So when did he pray? In verse 147, he says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. Now, he didn't stop the sun from rising. That's not what this really means here. He says, I met the sunrise. I was up before the sunrise. You know, there's the old proverb that the early bird gets the worm. Okay? We can get up early in the morning to get God's answer and start praying to him. So it's before dawn. He says, I meet this with, I have this expectation here. So he prays before dawn in verse 147. He says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. In Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God. What's the next word? Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So he says here, I prevented the dawning of the morning and what? And cried. And cried. So when did he pray before dawn? Before dawn, he said, and then I hoped for thy word. In verse 148, he prays during the night watches. Okay? Now, if you go to Judges chapter 7, it talks about that during the night there are several watches. With Gideon, it was at the mid-watch when they went and they broke the pitchers and said the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and everybody killed themselves. So there's like three watches in the evening. And so every time, you know, they have this watch and they may call out the time, he was praying. You know, if God... If you have a dream or you have something that's bothering you and you wake up, that might be a prompting to pray. That might be a prompting to pray. There's nothing wrong praying in the middle of the night. Well, I might disturb somebody. You'll be disturbed if you don't. Okay? So, during the night watches, in Isaiah, there's this, as Isaiah gets these prophecies about these countries, he comes to Duma or Edom. And in Isaiah 21, verse 11, he says, a watchman, what of the night? What of the night? In verse 12 of that chapter, the watchman saith, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will what? Will inquire ye, return, and come. See, just like he beat the dawn to the dawn and anticipated the rising. When he had this major issue, he's got this major issue now, he says, I am praying through the night. I am praying through the night. Why? That I might meditate in thy word. In Psalm 63, verses 6 and 7, we were already in verse 1 of that chapter. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the what? Night watches. You know, it says he gives his beloved sleep. So if you're prompted to wake up, say a prayer. Say a prayer. Say a prayer. If there is something pressing on your heart, say a prayer before you go to sleep. If it's pressing on your heart, it's important enough to pray before morning starts. It's important enough to pray in the middle of the night. It's important to wake up in the middle of the night and pray. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the what night watches, because thou hast what? Been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So we see here that how he prayed, what he prayed, And when he prayed, here's the point. He prayed a long time over this. He got up in the morning, was praying about this before the sunrise. After sunset, he's still praying for this. It's a whole concept of praying without ceasing. And folks, when we pray with perseverance. We pray until we're prompted not to pray, or we see the answer. Okay? So we see his cry when he prayed. In verses 149 through 151, we see his call. Verse 149 talks about what he pleaded for. He says, "Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord." What he did, what he was praying for, he says, "God, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Hear my voice. Hear my voice." In Psalm 37, verse 4, 34, verse 17, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them," what? "Out of all their troubles." But when we pray, we need to anticipate God will do it. We need to have faith to do that. Sometimes you just have to keep on praying like Daniel did for 21 days because there was spiritual warfare going on. So he prays here in 149. He says, "Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord." Okay? Hear me. You know, sometimes we pray and we don't think that God hears. Got to figure out why. It's not God's problem. We need to examine ourselves. The second thing he asks for is this. He says, "Help me. Quicken me according to thy judgment." What he really wants is revival. The word for quicken here means to be revived. Okay? According to what? God's judgment. Not what we think we need in order to get through this trial, but what God says we need to get through this trial. That's a totally different perspective. So what he pleaded for was for God to hear him and for God to help him. Why? Okay. In Psalm 109, verse 26, "Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy what? Mercy." It's not according to our will, it's according to his will that he's going to do those things. So what he pleaded for was that. Now, in verse 150, why he pleaded. Why he pleaded. Because of the proximity of his adversaries. He says, "They draw nigh that follow after mischief." So he's got these adversaries closing in. He's got these trials closing in. And sometimes you feel the whole world is falling apart. You preach about trials Sunday night. Oh boy, it's been one of those weeks. It's been one of those weeks, hasn't it? But I tell you, we've all had trials. All those things we preached on. Various people in the church. It's interesting. God's preparing us to get through those things. So the issue is why did he plead? Because the enemy was out there, the proximity of his adversaries. He pleaded because what the purpose of the adversaries were about. They were intent, or their aim, was to follow after mischief. To put it literally, it says their aim was mischief. Their aim was mischief. Isaiah 32, verse 7 says this. It says that the instruments also of the curl, or the evil one, are evil. He deviseth wicked devices. The word for mischief is actually devices. Things you can get into trouble with. Things, ways to make trouble. That's why he said. He sees these guys. He says, these guys are closing in around me. They have things to make trouble for me. And it says, to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. The problem of the adversaries is found in the last part. So we see the proximity because they draw nigh. We see the purpose of them is to, their aim was to do evil or to devise evil. Same thing is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Their heart was to do what? Evil continually. Evil continually. The last one, the problem in the adversaries is, for they are what? Far from my law. See, if you're far from God's law, it doesn't matter what you call yourself, you're evil. Okay? You're evil. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity, or the enemy of against God, for it is what? Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I want no part of it. No part of it. So we see what he pleaded, we see why he pleaded, and in verse 151, what he perceived. So he says, this is the problem I have. You know, God knows what our problems are. He just wants us to see things his way. And find, and basically call on him to get us out of the problem. In 151, we see, thou art near. Thou art near. What he perceived is the proximity of God. Folks, the closest that we should ever feel to God is when we're in a deep trial. Amen. That's when we should feel closest to God. Not that God's further away, but that he's close by. You know, just think of the three Hebrew children in the furnace. That's what God was. Daniel in the lion's den. That's where God was. Paul in prison. That's where God was. Peter, before he was crucified upside down, that's where God was. He saw the proximity of God. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is what?
Nigh.
Near unto how many?
All.
All them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in what?
Truth.
We see over and over again, that I might meditate thy word, that I keep thy testimonies, that I keep thy statutes, that I keep your truth. So what did he perceive? He perceived the proximity of God. He says, thou art near. Then he perceived the person of God. See, it's through trials that the character of God can come out in us. It's the trials that the provision of God can do this. He says, O Lord, Lord of hosts, Lord of all power, Lord of all grace, Lord of all things. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is like a refuge. God might be a refuge. No, God is our refuge. The same thought here. Thou art near, O Lord. You're here with me now. Your presence is here. God is our refuge and strength. A what? Very present help in trouble. So what he perceived that God was near. Have you ever felt like that when you pray? It's a neat feeling. It's an affirmation. He sees the person, right? He perceived the person of God. And then the third thing is he perceived the performance of God. And all thy commandments are what?
True.
Truth. Okay? See, there's only one purpose for truth. It's to take us out of error. Christ said, and ye shall know the what?
Truth.
And the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Free from the curse of sin. Free from the specter of hell, free from fear, free from failure, free to do things that you never thought possible, free from being despair, in despair and distress. So, why he pleaded, what he perceived. And then lastly, in verse 152, he makes a confession. He says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. What he talks about here, the word for testimonies or statutes, are the divine law, the things that God gave on Sinai to the nation. They are, oh, by the way, that all those laws, God still wants us to try to do them. Okay? It says, concerning thy testimonies, I have found of old that thou hast founded them forever. So he talks about the faithfulness of God's word. Proverbs says, silver apples and picture of gold, whatever the case may be. He said, this is what the faithfulness of God's word is. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says that we're supposed to do this. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been what? Taught. Through all this psalm, we see that the psalmist is being taught. Being taught about God. He's being taught about the truth of his word. He's being taught about spiritual warfare. He's being taught about this. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by what? Sound doctrine. If you don't have the truth, you don't have sound doctrine. If you don't have sound doctrine, you don't know what to do. Right. To both to what? To exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And so he's confessing, he says, I found out a long time ago in my life that your word's faithful. Folks, God's word hasn't changed, have we? You know, what worked a long time ago in God's word will work for us now.
Right.
Sometimes we forget. We forget about the faithfulness of God. We forget about the proximity of God. We forget about the power of God. We try to do things on our own. Secondly, he talks about the founding of God's word. He says, I found it old, but that's his own personal experience. Folks, we all need to have a personal experience of faithfulness to God's word. He says that thou hast what? Founded them forever. In Luke 21, it says, heaven and earth pass away, but my words will not pass away. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, okay, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Today I had another opportunity to witness to my Algebra 2 class. And we basically went through all the things. Well, I'm baptized. And I asked the question, I gave him the gospel. And said, well, baptism will get me to heaven. I know baptism gets you wet. Well, I speak in tongues. Then I said, well, then why don't you behave like somebody of great spiritual stature? Well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Well, judge not that you won't be judged. I guarantee you, you're worse than what you think you are. And we went through all sorts of things. Continue to pray for my algebra class. They're actually, that they get saved. They get saved. Today. Well, I can lose my salvation. Where do you hear that? And I started to quote the scripture to them. They didn't have their Bibles, and they said, wait a second. They all went out to the lockers, got the Bibles, and they brought them back in. We didn't do math today. Okay? It's probably, so I'm tired of 4 plus 7 equals 12. Okay? But they all went out and got the Bibles, and so, well, where is that? And I gave them a passage and said, open up. What about this? It was there. What about this? It was there. I said, that's what we're supposed to do. The church gets people saved, but the church makes disciples. And what disciples mean is that you can rightly divide the word of truth and use it. You can't use math, but you can use the word of God.
I did say it.
Okay. But the point is, that's what we need to do. We need to pursue truth. We need to pursue truth. And so the question tonight is, are we pursuing the truth of God? Do we pursue it in prayer? Do we pursue it in action? Do we pursue it in meditation? Those are things that only you can answer. But in order to pursue truth, you need to know truth. You need to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight's an opportunity to come and get forgiveness of your sins and get the free gift of heaven. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us have your truth live in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.